Hey everybody, this is Kevin Couch from the podcast Get This. It's the show about things people love, and I'm coming to you on March 11th in the foul year of our Lord 2020 from the Corona Bunker, the Corona Studio here in Washington Heights, upstate Manhattan, and I'm joined today by Jeffrey Daza. Jeffrey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Good to be here.
All right, and where are you located right now? Where are you coming from?
I live in Astoria, Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Washington Heights my whole life, but I moved here about 3 years ago with my wife.
All right. I like the story. A lot of great food, Greek food.
A lot of food here. You know, we can get caught in a trap here just always eating out. But, you know, we try to maintain a healthy diet, well-balanced diet here at home.
That's a great place to start. But let's begin with the subject, right? So this is the show about things people love. What is it you want to talk about here today on the show?
Well, I'm here to talk about high performance. I'm here to talk about, you know, people just living their best life and people just mastering their habits, you know, becoming superhuman. I don't want people to be human anymore. I want them to be superhuman.
Well, that's heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I like that contrarian view of life, of viewing life. I feel like you shouldn't take things at face value and you should always, you know, ask why. Why am I not performing at a level that I don't want to perform at, or why am I feeling a certain way? So that's what I really teach people.
Yeah. So you do coaching?
Is this? Yeah.
Okay.
I coach people. I coach entrepreneurs and leaders. I help them with their performance, with mastering their habits and their energy and momentum, and bringing that all together so that they can, you know, feel their best.
That's that's important work. I wonder how you got started doing this.
So I've been doing this for about 3 years now. How I got started was, I'll make a long story short, I'll just give you a little bit of my background. But growing up, I grew up in my parents were immigrants from Mexico, family of seven. And they lived a pretty rough life in terms of how they got to America, in terms of how their work ethic is and their struggle in general.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, I saw them work hard. I saw how hard they worked to provide for our family. And as a kid, you know, I've had this story in my mind. I had this subconscious blueprint where I needed to prove to them that their hard work was worth it. And I'm going to live this American dream, and I'm quote unquote American dream, and be successful. So growing up, you know, I checked all the boxes, got good grades. I got into corporate America, you know, made good money, you know, checked off those boxes. But I realized that it was unsustainable. You know, I was working really hard. I was working long hours, and it really affected my life in general. It affected my relationship with my wife. Mm. It affected my relationship with my family, and most important, my relationship with myself. Mm. And because of I was working so hard, stressing out, burning out, you know, I took it out on my wife. I took it out on my wife, and we would argue. We would the dog. We have a dog. He would just hide behind the couch because we were always arguing. And it got to a point where we were about to get divorced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at that point, I knew that I needed to change. I knew that something needed to change. It just didn't feel right anymore. Mm. So that put me on a journey to really find my purpose and understand why I was doing things, why I was acting the way I was. And it really was because of my story, the story that I had implanted in myself as a child, my subconscious blueprint. So that right there, I was at that point, I was around 3 years ago, I was around 205 pounds. I ended up losing over 40 pounds.
What do you mean you lost 40 pounds?
I lost over 40 pounds, yeah, over the course of a year. And actually in 2 months, I lost 25 pounds, which was pretty insane. Yeah.
That's a little quick.
It's quick. Quick.
Okay. Well, how did you do it?
How did I do it? I changed my story. The way I like to teach my clients is, one of the things that I teach my clients, I teach them about the six pillars of high performance. You got to master these six areas in order to really perform at a high level and to have that energy and momentum and just really feel good all the time. And one of the first pillar that you really have to master is mindset. You know, you really have to change your story. And what I did was, I decided that I was going to, and I call this my player one theory, that I'm going to be a character in this game, and I'm going to decide and dictate how this character does things in life. How does it wake up? How does it move? How does it act? How does it perform? And when I really changed that story and I decided that I'm not going to be Jeff. I'm going to be Super Jeff. I'm going to be a character that does whatever he wants. That changed everything for me.
Did you read a book or, you know, meet some guru who kind of,
one of the gurus that you mentioned there is, Dave Asprey. He's someone that really talks about biohacking in terms of, making sure that you do things for your body, your mind, your environment that's going to help you perform at a higher level. Mm. And I really listened to his podcast while I was going for runs night and day. Some of the methods that I did when I first started were a little bit extreme. I would say just the simpler terms in terms of like intermittent fasting. I was not eating for 16 hours and only eating for 8 hours. Mm. It's very common nowadays, but at first when I wouldn't recommend people just jump right into it, but,
because what's the trick there? I guess you can do it different ways, but the idea is, you know, you sleep 8 to 10 hours and you don't eat first thing, right? You drink a big glass of water and
you skip breakfast. That's the number one thing I would say. Just skip breakfast. I'm a big believer of not eating breakfast because I feel like it's just another marketing tool that advertisers like to use on you. You know, need breakfast to have a great day, rest of the day. You know, I was a kid and I was getting fed Frosted Flakes by my mother.
Oh, please. We were having this conversation earlier. My fiance and her parents, we were having a chat about the type of diet that goes on in the Dakotas where I'm originally from. Yeah, at times it was pretty nasty. We didn't know. They really didn't know any better. We knew, oh, you know, fast food, junk food, but we didn't even realize, like, yeah, just the nature of the diet was pretty tremendously bad.
Yeah. I was eating Frosted Flakes for breakfast, and I was like taking naps for first period.
I recall this. I remember this well. And then they would feed us milk at the beginning of the day too, which clearly doesn't have anything to do with nutrition. That has to do with, you know, the farm lobby or whatever it is, and this whole nonsense scheme. It all kind of starts there, doesn't it?
Milk, the juice, the chips, the whole vending machine.
Yeah.
And like I was talking to my wife about it too. Like because I just had a daughter 3 months ago.
Oh, congratulations. And
thank you.
What's her name?
Her name is Haley Ray.
Oh, I like that name, Haley Ray.
Yeah, she's such a happy baby, and it's great to see her growth and just to help her live life and get those experiences. Like, I don't ever want to teach her how to do things. I just want her to just experience it and just get a feel of things.
But you also don't want to shove Frosted Flakes down her face at 7 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that I'm going to avoid, hopefully. I mean, we have our environmental influences, which is another pillar of high performance that I could talk to you about. But yeah, she's great, and we want to give her a well-balanced diet. I know you can't avoid, you know, the junk foods because she's going to have friends, she's going to have, you know, parties, it's just part of life. It's just being able to maintain it, right?
Well, you know, this isn't about being a snob either, right? You just have to know that what passes for a meal and what is a snack. And a lot of what gets fed to people, and a lot of like fast food and even fast casual, it's carnival food. It's a snack. You get it in your mind that you're going to be served a meal at McDonald's. You're, of course not. Everyone knows that, but then it extends even deeper and deeper and deeper. You got to make a lot more of your meals at home than not, for sure.
Yeah.
And New Yorkers, it's tough. I can tell you have some thoughts.
You know what happens? It becomes a habit loop. And this is what people get stuck with. And this is what I teach people, is that there's 3 steps to creating a habit. There's a trigger, there's a behavior, and there's a reward. See cookie, eat cookie, feel good. That's the 3-step process that most people go through. What people forget about is the 4th step. And the 4th step is actually bringing awareness to the long-term result of what you're doing. Mm. So eat cookie, see cookie, feel good short-term. But after about 4, 5, 6 cookies, when you get to the long-term, you don't feel so good anymore. So you stop that habit. But if you were to think about that 4-step, and what I like to teach people is try to snap out of it. So see cookie, eat cookie, feel good, snap out of it, see what that long-term effect is, and over time you start to build new neurons in your brain that stop that habit loop. So that right there is one thing that people don't realize. Like, they get stuck in this habit loop of the first 3 steps, and they never incorporate that 4th step. So once you start doing that, you start to see different outcomes in your habits and what you're doing, and start to change your story a little bit.
I appreciate this. We're getting ready to move from Manhattan to St. Paul, Minnesota, where we have family, and we're really excited about it. It's been a great time here. We both have a similar story. We both came from the Midwest about 7 years ago, you know, met out here, and it just the fact that we're going to move into this building that has a full gym and a pool in the building is going to be, at least for me, to my mind, that is a chance. And I know 4 months from now that I might blow it, you know, but like, I can't have excuses. Like, I do like to go to the gym. I do this thing called strong lifts. I don't know if you've heard of that, strong lifts. That's been transformative. But this past 6 months, this past 8 months, kind of let it slip, kind of just didn't want to go to the gym. And just, it's a 15-minute walk from here. I have no excuse. But I, you know, now we're all kind of, I mean, you know, I'm trying to mitigate exposure just for, you know, just to see how it shakes out right now because of this corona business. But yeah. Yeah, no, so I'm interested in hearing your...
Completely understand that. And one of the things that we do as a society is we don't jump into these habits that we want, even though we know that, you know, this might make us feel good or this might, you know, it might be good for us because we view it as it being such a large project.
Yeah.
Like if you were to tell a marathon runner, you know, go run 26 miles, the first thing he or she would say is like, that's a lot of miles, right? But if you think about it, how do marathon runners start running? They start with one step first, then the second step, then the third step, and then momentum takes over. So what I would say to people is start simple. You know, don't try to go to the gym for an hour or 2 hours a day because that's going to be taxing on your body. Mm. You can start with something as simple as 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. Just get some movement.
When you get into the habit of going, then you're money. Because you can finally reach a point where you go and 90 minutes doesn't hit you too hard, doesn't hit you the same way as when you're starting.
Micro solutions. And that's really what the brain wants. The brain wants simplicity. It wants an easy choice. And once you give it an easy choice, like if I want to work out, I'm just going to put on my sneakers and then that's it. Like you don't do anything else because once you do that, you already told your brain, okay, I can do that first step. Then I can take a step out the door. Then I can take a step out the street. And that's like the hardest part, like just starting. But when you start simple, it gives your brain this hit of dopamine, this feel good neurotransmitters. So that right there is what works. Yeah.
I'm a writer and a playwright. And, you know, when you tell people, hey, I'm a writer and I've had some things done and a few things published and they tend to open up to you if they themselves are writing or doing any art or whatnot. And more often than not, when somebody's stuck, it feels to me like they're trying to do something too big straight away. The classic example is the would-be novelist who's never finished a short story and had a short story published. My advice in those cases is almost universally finish a short story, work to get it published, get the reward going. Right. So you feel good about that accomplishment and then create this positive feedback loop. That's not to say someone, you know, I'm sure there are probably novels out there right now that are sitting in somebody's drawer that are great. But it's one thing to build a career as a writer. And there are sort of these paths to do it. I think there's something to be said for finishing things, accomplish it, finish it and move on to the next thing.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why, and you probably could attest to this because you're a playwright, that why people love seeing their favorite movie all the time because they know the outcome to it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why, you know, if you know the outcome to something, if you finish it, then you're going to feel good about it and you're going to want to do it again. If you don't know the outcome to it, then it's going to be hard to continue because you never see the ending. So that's something too, like when I ask my clients to create this new identity, to create this new story, they become the director of their own story now. So they know the outcome because they're writing the book or they're writing their story.
Are you having people actually do, you know, write out plans and, you know, how does that work?
It's not writing, like writing out plans. It's more about, I give them a template and I ask them to fill in these questions and fill in the dots. And then from there, they start to better understand who they want to become. Because it's their story that they're telling themselves, like, okay, I can't do this, so I can't go to the gym, or I can't eat right, or my environment is stressing me out. That story is what's keeping them feeling stuck where they are. But once you start to give them a new path or create this new window, they start to see things a little bit differently. They start to see that, okay, it's kind of like I make them a character in their own game, this game of life, and it's kind of like a kid playing a video game, right? So if you notice, these kids are really addicted to these video games. They just can't stop playing them. But I took notice of what these gaming companies are doing, and really what they're doing is they're making the kid believe that they're the character, essentially the character for an hour or two. So if the kid, you could tell me that I can fly anywhere I want. I can drive any car I want for an hour. Like, I'm going to want that life. So if you do the same thing as an adult and you tell the adult that you can be this type of person today, it creates, it makes it fun for them to want to accomplish their goals, to want to perform higher, to master their habits. And that's really what the body wants. The body wants to feel alive.
We tend to view these things that are good for us as chores, I think. At least I do. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. It's interesting. So you mentioned your family's from Mexico. Where in Mexico did they come from?
Yeah, so my dad, he grew up in a city called Oaxaca. And my mom grew up in a small town called Piaxla. It's about 4 hours from the capital. And they grew up there till they were about in their 20s, mid-20s. And they ended up coming to the States. And when they came to the States, they had my three sisters and my brother and I. So that's how we got over here. But, they definitely struggled through that whole transition. It wasn't easy at the time. It was 1980s, late 70s, I believe.
I wonder what those stories are like. I'm sure those are intense. You probably have some family stories.
Yeah. My dad, growing up, he was a workaholic, mm-hmm. He is a workaholic, and he went to school. He at the age of like 13, 14, he went to school all day for about 8 hours. He traveled like 2 hours to go to another city to work and clean floors for like another 5-6 hours, get home for another 2 hours, and then sleep for 3 hours and go back to school again. So it was rough on him, and he had a pretty rough childhood. And my mother too, she was working since she was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And she was 5, 6, cleaning houses, mm-hmm. probably for about like $5 a day, maybe less.
Yeah.
So they're hard workers, and I commend them for it. And I'm thankful for them that they gave us this opportunity to come to the States. Although it did influence how I behaved as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. And once I really, I had to snap out of it, or else I probably would have lost my wife. I would have lost my house, would have lost my dog. I probably would have lost myself too. I at that point, when I was at my lowest, I was having dreams of like driving my car over a bridge.
Jesus.
Yeah. I was in a state of mind where I was really depressed, and I didn't know what the next step was, but I knew that I had to change my story, and that's where it started.
What did that first day look like when you found bottom and you realized, all right, I gotta crack out of this? What did you do?
Yeah, I can tell you, actually, I remember it vividly. So I was in my car. I had just gotten into an argument with my wife. I don't remember what, but we argued about something, and I got in my car, and she called me, and she said, Jeff, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep living this way. We have to get a divorce. So that moment, I knew like something, like that gut feeling, like you just like you walk into a dark alley, you get that gut feeling that something's not right. And the next night I woke up and I looked myself in the mirror, and I said to myself, I need to make a change. And the first thing that I saw was my body. I saw my weight, and I was 205 pounds, big beer belly. And I just didn't feel right. And I said, I'm going to start with changing the way I feel, changing the way I look. So I didn't want to really focus on, being better to my wife or being better to my family or at work. I really wanted to focus on myself first, because you need to help yourself first before you can help other people. You always hear that the airlines say that if the plane is going down, then make sure you put your oxygen mask on first before you help someone else. So that right there is like, you need to help yourself first before you can help others,
Yeah, it sounds like you were living, you're probably having a lot of toxicity in your life, and you weren't taking care of yourself. How tall are you?
I'm 6 feet.
You're 6 feet. And you're okay. Yeah. All right. Now, man, I got to lose some weight. I really got to lose some weight, man.
Yeah. Why do you feel that way?
I'm talking about that beer belly over here too. You got to figure that out at some point.
Yeah, I can definitely help you. I'll give you some tips on that too. But when I first started, I felt the same way. Like I needed to lose some weight, but it really wasn't the weight that I really wanted to lose. It was the way I felt. It's just the way that I showed up, the energy that I had, because I was waking up, hitting snooze and skipping the gym and, eating the Frosted Flakes for breakfast.
Oh,
I was doing all of that. And I just wanted to change the way I feel. I wanted to have energy. And once I changed that story and I changed my habits, and I actually started to really focus on, how I showed up for myself, everything changed for me. And then I was able to really discover how all of this works and how to put it all together. It's really simple. And I started out with one client, and then that became a few referrals. And then I started getting so many more clients.
What year was that?
That was 3 years ago.
That was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've got plenty more time on this episode that, you know, I want to eke this out. And just to say it again, this is the Get This Podcast. You can find it at getthispodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. I'm Kevin Kautzman. I'm on Twitter. If you go to getthispodcast.com, the links and everything are there. What I want to talk about, Jeff, is I guess we're still at the very beginning of Act One of that story. So You make this decision, and there must have been months and months of struggle. I mean, I'm really wondering, I think, and I'm sure, you know, if people are listening, you know, they're going to want to know what the hell did you do, you know, in step two?
Yeah. So step one was look in the mirror and see what I wanted to change. And at that time for me, it was the way I looked, the way I felt. So after that, I would say step two would be just move. And that doesn't mean, you know, go to the gym for an hour or, you know, start, you know, lift heavy weights. It was just move your body. Don't sit on the couch. Like I would get home from work and like get the bag of Doritos and sit on the couch and watch Netflix for about 4 hours and go back to sleep. I had to stop that habit loop. I had to actually get my body up and moving. Like our body's filled with chemicals and we want to just shake it up like a soda can so that we can just get all the stuff moving. So I would say step two was get moving somewhere, whether it's you either walk outside or you take a jog, a 5-minute jog, 5-minute jumping jacks at home, like something so simple just to start, because it's the momentum is what keeps you going. It's once you actually start going and you actually start doing something simple, that's what's going to keep you going long term.
How did you know how to do that though? I mean, what was it your instinct? You just had this instinct? Or did you have an example?
So for me, it was, I'm an athletic guy. So I used to work out when I was in college. I'm 30 now. So that was about 10 years ago. So I know more about the routines and what would get me to that shape. So what I would say to someone is think about a time where you actually felt really good and you felt like you had good momentum. You felt good in your clothes or you felt good in your body. And what were the habits you were doing at that time? Like what's something that you can really pinpoint on? Okay, I was doing this every single day. I was drinking this amount of water every single day. I was doing this amount of exercise every single day or 3 times a week. So when you, that's what I mean about changing your story and understanding, you know, the habits that you're doing now as part of this story. But if you go back to that other story or you build a new story, you become the new character, then you're going to start to see a little bit of change.
Were you working with someone on this or solving it on your own? Reading?
Yeah. When I first started, it was on my own. I would read, I would listen to podcasts. I would listen to Dave Asprey podcast, Tom Bilyeu, and they would just talk about, it was more motivation, you know, just to keep me going. And when I was going on my runs, they would motivate me and saying that, you know, this is, it's all mindset, like fear is false evidence appearing real. And that would help me change my story. And that would happen day after day. Read a lot of books. I started reading more books on personal development. I read Start With Why by Simon Sinek. I read Dave Asprey's Headstrong, which helped me out later along the lines on the nutrition part, the environmental part that affects your performance. I started reading a lot of books. At 3 years ago, I think I read like 20 something books. And that really helped me, you know, get my brain going, you know, get the juices flowing. But I did get help, and I got help somewhere like midway between my first year, so 3 years ago, 2017, between 2017 and 2018. I hired a coach too. This was more of a personal coach, and he really helped me. He introduced me to a book called The Power of Now. Have you heard of that book?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. He helped me really understand that the present moment that we have now is really the only moment you'll ever have. Like we don't have yesterday. We don't know about tomorrow. Today, like this moment here is when you really understand this concept, you really understand that what you do now is what's going to help you for 5 minutes from now. So if I take one step now and then the next step hasn't come yet, but that first step is what's going to help that next step come. So really understanding this concept helped me stop stressing over my future that hasn't happened or my past that I couldn't change. And it really helped me get energized and stop, you know, draining my energy on this stuff that really doesn't matter.
Isn't it wonderful when you can find a book that has that kind of impact on your life?
Yeah, The Power of Now, I would say it was life-changing for me. And when I first started reading it, I was like, you know, this is just not for me. This doesn't make sense. But once I really started to apply those concepts and like I felt like the universe giving me signs all the time and telling me like, okay, this is how you should be feeling. This is how people should be feeling. Cause I know how it feels to live that, you know, that corporate life, you know, fast rat race lifestyle. And I know how I feel now in terms of, you know, I don't let my future or past affect me at all. I let my present moment affect me only, you know?
Interesting. Power of now. I'm trying to recall. Yeah.
And you can also listen to an audio on that on YouTube. I think Eckhart Tolle put like an hour long audio on an overview of how the book works. But I would definitely recommend the book just because you get to paint different pictures based off what he says. But you can listen to it too online on YouTube.
He's an interesting cat. I recall having heard him speak. And yeah, I may seek him out as I take my adventure to weight loss. This is actually good timing because this is something that I've been putting off. And it's definitely time to realize. I mean, I have this old image of myself in my head, and I look at pictures of myself from maybe 5-7 years ago before I moved to New York and got the corporate job and did that for a number of years. A lot of stress, a lot of deli omelets in the morning, takeout for lunch, drinks with colleagues after work, and then takeout for dinner at home. That life for a number of years, even if it's sporadic and you're not going to the office 5 days a week or whatnot, I mean, that starts to stack. And then you combine that with a habit of going to a bar and all the rest. And good night. That 180-pound guy is gone. There was one moment I had where I was in an Airbnb in London. This is a few years ago. And we had rented this Airbnb with floor-to-ceiling mirrors in front of the bed, not for anything ridiculous, but because it was like a wardrobe that had these mirrors on it. Mm-hmm. It made the room look bigger, but it also forced me to look at myself in the morning. First thing when I got out of bed, and I said, "What? When did this happen?"
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Strong lifts has been really helpful. My buddy, friend of the show, Brad Kelly, who's getting married soon in Detroit, he was also really helpful and encouraging. But man, that the consistency that's required to really make it work is just it's a bear, because it's not the one thing isn't enough. It's not enough to go to the gym and lift heavy weights and maybe do a little smattering of cardio. You have to combine it with diet and mindset and all these other things. And I know this, but it's just nice to have, you know, to hear it. And I appreciate you coming on the show to talk about this stuff.
I mean, I say the universe makes no mistakes. So I think this is perfect timing for both of us. And I'm happy to help you out with that, with setting up some systems for that as well. What I would say, though, is don't try to do all of it at once. I think that's where people get confused, or people end up getting stuck. When they try to go to the gym, they try to fix their diet, they try to build new routine, they try to eliminate their old routines all at once. It's too much for your body. It's too much for your brain. I would say start small, start simple. Start with one thing, maybe eliminating something or adding something, adding more, a cup of water a day, getting better rest. Like, recovery is one of the six pillars of high performance that I teach. And I tell people that if you don't get good sleep, that's like the fundamental thing you need to do, that, because that's the way you wake up is the way you start your day, and it's going to end up impacting all your decisions throughout the day.
You're a hand talker, so watch out for banging the mic.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah. So getting good sleep, rest, and recovery, I would say, is super important to, in terms of waking up with energy, waking up with making great decisions. And also, one thing I would say is try to habit stack. And we do this often anyway. Like, for example, you use the restroom, you wash your hands. That's called a habit stack, right? So another habit stack could be like, you wake up and you brush your teeth and you drink water. You start stacking those two things together. So once you start doing that, you start building that habit. It's easier to continue, because, you know, after you brush your teeth, you're going to drink a glass of water. So those habit stacking techniques really helps out.
Interesting. Yeah. You want to build a routine so you don't have to relearn the good behaviors over and over and over again, because it's never going to work out. The bad, bad behaviors will just slip in there.
Yeah. It's like my dog, you know, tell him to sit and give him a treat, you know. Positive reinforcement.
You kind of have to treat yourself like a dog. It is a little rough. We're vain. We like to think that we're somehow on a completely different level. And a lot of us are trapped in fear, and we're in our heads and all the rest.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. The body just wants to feel good. Like, the body wants two things. It wants to feel good and it wants to stay alive. like if you just dial it down to those two things. So if you focus on doing things that make your body feel good, then you're going to want to keep doing it. The body's going to want you to keep doing it. And that's when the body and brain connection comes in and you start to feel good about it and you start to build momentum. And momentum is the key there. Like once you have momentum, it's hard to stop it. It's like a rolling ball. You know, it's if you put a ball down, it stays stuck. But if you start rolling it, it keeps rolling down the hill.
Yeah, you got to keep on rolling down the hill. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. So I'm curious too about your getting back to your family story a little bit.
Yeah.
And the move from Mexico to the Heights. Of course, the Heights are very famous for Puerto Ricans and Dominicans. And is there a big Mexican community up here too?
At the time, I think there was. I think in the 80s there was a big, and especially in terms of 200th Street and higher and going towards the Bronx, there was a lot of Mexicans, and my family had family here, so that's why we moved here. But I know the Dominicans started coming in, like when I was a child, it was full of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, mostly Dominicans. And I think it's changing now too, right? It's not too much Spanish now. It's more gentrification coming
in. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a mix. I got to go to Mexico last year. Had a heck of a good time. I couldn't believe how good the food was.
The food's amazing. And like home cooked meals for my mother, it's amazing. I mean, it may not be the healthiest for you, but it tastes really good.
I'm sure. Of course, it's nothing like what middle America grows up with in terms of, and even on the coast here, it's not, there's a huge difference when you get down there, just the quality of ingredients, and tacos are kind of a religion. And I had no idea how many cities in Mexico are named after hot sauces.
I had no idea.
That's a joke. It's a joke. I think it's the other way around. But I was
I haven't been to Mexico in about 20 years, maybe. So yeah. I'm not sure. I went to Cancun recently, but in terms of their hometown, yeah, I haven't been there in such a long time.
I had a great time in Mexico City. Uber makes things a lot easier, makes things really possible. You can get around. And I never felt unsafe.
Yeah.
We went clubbing. Pretty cool. Yeah. A lot of fun.
I hear a lot of good things about Mexico City, and people love going back there for the history.
The museums are incredible. The anthropology museum there is just absolutely staggering. Yeah, huge. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, I assume there's a place where people can find you online too. You want to plug your stuff?
Yeah. I'm mostly on Facebook. Jeffrey Daza. You can search me there. I have my own website, jeffdaza.com. They want to look me up there. And I also have my free ebook on jeffdaza.com
where
I talk about the 6 pillars of high performance, go a little bit more into it. So if they want to read a copy of that, feel free to grab that. Instagram, you can find me on Instagram, jeffdaza_, where I go a little bit behind the scenes of my day, what I do every day. Sometimes I bring a little bit of my clients in there. They speak about their day. And yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and my website, I would say, is where I'm mostly more active.
Yeah, I will link to these in the show notes like I do. So yeah, we've had a good first half of the show. I guess let's keep talking about these 6 pillars and what you're up to now that you've moved out of kind of getting yourself in order to becoming a father and helping your clients. I guess what's been the biggest challenge in that, in setting up a coaching practice and working with people?
I would say the biggest challenge would be that everyone's story is different. Like no one has one unique story that I can just build a program off of. So one of the biggest challenges that I have is understanding behavior change. Not everybody moves at the same pace. Not everybody will adapt at the same pace. I mean, the systems work, but sometimes it's a little bit longer for some people. Like I've had a client who came to me that he wanted to lose weight. He had high blood pressure. He was a pre-diabetic. He was always stressed. He was a business owner. And he ended up losing over 25 pounds in 8 weeks with the same methods. But then the same methods that I teach another person, it took him 6 months to do that. So it's really about understanding how motivated people are, where they're at in their journey and their story, and how to rewire that to build the story that they want, or how to build the character that they want. And it takes time.
It says here that you were an accountant.
Yeah. I was an accountant for 8-9 years.
Yeah.
And that right there helped me build just like my mental muscles in terms of understanding the stress that comes behind it, the stress from my environment, my colleagues, the politics from corporate America. I'm pretty sure you know about that. Mm. That really helped me build my character in terms of who I wanted to be.
Interesting. And do you still do any of that work?
Yeah, I still do some of that.
Sure. Yeah. I build websites.
Oh, nice.
K to the 2.com. K-T-O-T-H-E 2, the numeral 2.com. Yeah.
Awesome.
We have the Firefighters Union here is our biggest client. Fantastic. And that's been quite a trip with Corona, because when they send out messages and we have to do work on the website, that stuff's pretty earnestly life or death stuff has to get out. Yeah. And it's actually a real honor to work for those folks. When you compare a fairly soft, white collar, artistic background like mine to what those folks do, and when you think about what it's like to be an EMT right now,
yeah,
with all this going on, it's pretty pretty humbling.
Those are the real heroes.
I mean, it is. Heroes. It's a cliche, but it's true. It's just simply true. And the nature of that work is so demanding. I really respect that.
I mean, if you think about the mindset of a firefighter, like if I was to tell you run into that burning house, you would probably say, no, I'm not running into that burning house. But if you tell a firefighter that, they change their story because they're wired to go in there, be a hero, save someone's life. And that's really what the concept of changing your story is all about. And who do you want to become?
Yeah. When I think about those jobs and the degree of readiness that those folks have to have and have to maintain, mm-hmm. It really is impressive.
But they go through an intensive, I think, 6-month workshop or training to become a firefighter. Yeah. And some people that I know like that went through it said it's harder than being in the Army or being in the Navy. It's pretty rough. And my brother-in-law is actually involved in that now. So it's not easy. It's not easy. And they have to get their mindset rewired too to be able to run into flaming houses.
Right. Indeed. So what does a typical client of yours look like? Is it principally weight loss that you're helping people with, or what else are you dealing with?
So I first started with weight loss because that's something that I felt like I had some systems set in place to help people lose weight. But it evolved to other things, like helping people get better jobs, helping people perform better with their relationships. One of my clients ended up getting a job working for the MOB, and just, it's really just about putting in the mindset and the pillars in place that's going to help you get to that level, putting in the systems, mastering your habits and becoming that different person. So yeah, I do weight loss. It's majority of my clients, but I've had other ones who some people want to get off their depression pills and some people want to change that story. So I help them do that as well. I help people change their story and perform at a higher level.
That depression pills thing seems a little risky though.
Yeah.
Because you can't go cold turkey and they need to work with their doctors on that as well.
So you never tell them to get off the depression pills.
Right.
And that's key right there. You can't force anyone to do anything. You just have to help them understand why they're doing it. So once you do that and you help them see exactly their patterns, help them see exactly how they're performing, how they're doing things and how it's the result from it, they start to make the connections and they start to change on their own. It's really like you try to tell a kid to go clean his room or jump in this car, they're going to say no, right? But if you give them a story around it, look, what if the floor is filled with lava, hurry up, get off the floor, jump in the car, they'll do it. You know, you make it fun for them. So making it fun and helping people become a character is really what helps them change their behavior on their own.
And that's the only way. If they don't build the habit themselves, it's never going to stick. Never.
Build the habit and also getting the support. I think the support is important. Mm. And when I first started and I hired my life coach, he really helped me understand my story and how I had to change that in order to become who I wanted to be. In order to have that energy I wanted to feel, because I at that point I was like really low energy. Like I mentioned to you, I was having dreams or nightmares of driving my car over a bridge. So you know, once I changed that story, you know, I felt. I mean, I've had the best sleep I've ever had in my life right now, and I have this Oura Ring that tracks all of my sleep data, and it's like, you've ever heard of that?
Oura Ring? No, what is it?
Yeah, so it tracks my sleep data, tracks my sleep efficiency, biomarkers like my heart rate when I'm sleeping. And right now, my sleep efficiency is like over 90% for like the past month. And it's amazing because I'm waking up feeling really good. And I've in the past never felt like that really.
Yeah, that reminds me of Bill Burr, who the great comedian who got sober recently. I don't know if he's completely on the wagon forever. He had a kid and it kind of, I think obviously it knocked him into shape. And he says on his podcast, which is a great podcast. He says on his podcast, when you're drunk, when you're drinking, your nights are fantastic and your mornings are terrible. When you're not drinking, it's the other way around. Those nights can be a little rough. There's nothing to take the edge off. You got to build it and you got to get there. I've been there. I've been in the other place. I'm not going to tell you which place I'm in now, but I will say, you know, I really am looking forward to a little more relaxing pace when I return to St. Paul and having, again, this gym in the building. What a gift to be able to have that.
That's part of your environment, right? Your environment makes you and makes or break you. So if you have that near you, then you're going to be exposed to it more often. You're going to see it more often. It's going to get hard to stop walking past it so often and not going in.
Every time I take the elevator down to go to a bar or whatever, I'm going to go, oh, I could be going to the gym instead. I think that's going to be helpful. I'm jazzed. Yeah. I really want to get back on a strong list routine. It feels amazing to do a workout like that and to come out of it. And you just have that. That pumped feeling, not physically, but that mentally, wow, I accomplished something. It's kind of a wonderful feeling.
That feeling right there is what's going to keep you going. Like you want to feel that way. You want that end result for you to always feel that way. So you know that once you go to the gym, you feel that way. So you're building those habits together.
Yeah. What does a typical session with you look like, right? If somebody's going to start working with you, how does it even begin?
Yeah. So we, it begins with just a coaching application, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes people are not the right fit for this program, or they're not at the right stage where they need this type of program. My program is called Smart Performance Blueprint. And I'm honest with them. I get on the call with them and I understand their story, understand where they are now. And if I can help them, I know I can help them, then I'll tell them. Like if I tell them if it's not the right fit, I just let them know right away. I like to the transparency. So after they end up booking with me, we end up having, I end up introducing them to, I give them access to my app where it's called the Nudge app. And I put together a customized program based on what their goals are. And on a weekly basis, we have these check-ins to see if they're meeting these weekly trackers that we have for them. And then we just make adjustments after that. If something doesn't work, we adjust it. And then we want to keep good momentum going. And that's the key here. Keep good momentum.
Are you doing personal training with them too? Are you going into the gym or running with people or no?
No personal training. Everything's really virtual. They have access to the app 24/7. So for any questions or support. But what I do is I first start with the most important pillar, as I mentioned, is the mindset one. We have to master the mindset, master the storytelling that they want to tell themselves on a consistent basis for about 2 to 3 weeks until we move to the next pillar, which is nutrition. And then from there, we'll start to build more healthy habits. We don't go cold turkey, but we build healthy habits to make the body feel good. After that, the third pillar is movement. And that doesn't mean that they're going to go to the gym all the time. It means that they're going to move their body. I try to tell my clients to average at least 7,000 steps a day. And your phone tracks your steps too on the health app. So you don't have a Fitbit or anything like that. You can look at it on your phone. And after that, we go into the fourth pillar, which is environment. We want to see exactly how your environment is impacting your performance, your energy, and we make minor adjustments there too. And we bring it all together with the fifth pillar, which is recovery. We want people to get good rest. One of the things that I do with my clients, I introduce them to my nitric breathing. And essentially what that is I have, I buy this tape, this really well-designed tape is on Amazon. I can send you the link for it, but I put it over my mouth and I sleep with it overnight and that's it. So I'm breathing through my nose all night.
And you put tape over your mouth?
Yeah. Tape over my mouth.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
I know it sounds extreme, but it's the sleep efficiency, the numbers are there. And like my body's recovering really well over it because your nose is designed to breathe in. Your mouth is designed to taste and to speak. Shouldn't be speaking through your mouth. So when you start really breathing through your nose more often, especially overnight, which could be anywhere between 6 and 8 hours, your body really recovers.
I've heard this about mouth breathing. Obviously, you don't want to do it. Interesting. Yeah. But I hadn't really ever thought about it at night.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
For me, it's nitric breathing. That's my term.
I see. It's your term.
But if you want to look it up, just look up mouth taping. You know, you'll see all the medical benefits to it.
I have not once in my life, in my nearly 40 years on this earth, have I ever heard of taping my. I'm gonna look this up. I have no idea where this is gonna land me online, but I think it's a rabbit hole.
don't click the first link. I would say.
Right, exactly. Yeah, maybe go to page two.
It's on Amazon. The science behind it is amazing. Essentially, what you're doing is you're building your heart to run more efficiently to build off good oxygen, and you feel the difference when you wake up. You really do.
I don't know if I'd be able to tolerate it, but I may give it a try. I'm going to do a little bit of research for myself first because that's the kind of guy I am.
But yeah,
I trust.
And I would tell people to don't try it right away overnight. Try it while you're awake and see how your body adapts to it. Because if you do have any underlying medical conditions, if you have severe asthma or you have some medical conditions that you just can't use it, I wouldn't recommend it. But just look at the labeling for sure.
Definitely make for some awkward radio if I did. Can you imagine? Do a podcast. I get you on and I tape my mouth shut. And I look like Hannibal Lecter here.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't work out too well.
Yeah, it'd be a short podcast. you gotta hit the ball back and forth. So did you get through all the pillars? Did you rattle them off? Say them again.
So the first one's mindset. Second one is nutrition. Third one is movement or exercise. The fourth one is environment. The fifth one is recovery and rest. And the sixth one is habits. That brings them all together.
And did you conceptualize that yourself, or is this pulled from somewhere?
No, I conceptualized myself. Just based off experience, based off what my understanding of how all this works, how to put all this together. Like, if you really want to master your habits, if you really want to become superhuman, become someone different, you have to master these pillars in that order. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be 100% perfect in each pillar, but that means that you're going to be at a level where it's kind of like when you want to get your black belt, right? You start at one color, you build off different colors, and that's where that's how my program works, where I put them through different levels in each pillar. And they see it. And when people see it and they see the results and they feel it, that's when they become superhuman.
Superhuman. Can I call this episode Superhuman Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. We'll call it. Actually, you know what? I Super Jeff is even better. I think we'll call it Super Jeff.
I like it.
Yeah, fun. All right. Well, so this is the Get This Podcast. You can get it at getthispodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, all of that nonsense. Jeff, tell me a little bit about this running that you did, because it sounds like that's really where you started. Do you still have a relationship with running? Because I've known some runners in my time and they become obsessed.
Yeah.
It's an obsession.
I did become obsessed for the first year. I was running like 5 miles a day. Sometimes, you know, I'd go into 12 miles. So it became, I would say a good obsession because it made my body feel good, but it was unsustainable in a way that it was taking up a lot of my time, and that time and energy is what I value the most out of everything. Because if you don't have energy, you can't do anything with your time with that. So what I decided to do was, my workouts are only 20 minutes. That's it. I don't work out for longer than 20 minutes. I do full body workouts. I have a gym in my basement. But you can do this at any gym. Basically, what you want to do is high intensity workouts here. So you want to jump in from each body part to body part, maybe 8 to 10 reps, and max it out at 20 minutes. And when you do that consistently, one, you're not putting too much tax on your body, so you can do it again the next day, or you can have a rest day.